Well, good morning, everyone. Are you guys ready for the word this morning?
Yep.
Amen. I'm always ready for the word. I love getting into the word, hearing the word, you know, finding out what it's all about, how it applies to us, how we can take that word and use it. So we're going to pray right now and ask God just to move upon Pastor
Hallelujah.
John. So, Father, we give you praise. We give you thanks. We thank you for the worship service this morning. Lord, as we come in and we have that joyful spirit, it's because we gather together in your name. And we know the things that you have brought us through. Lord, we all look at our lives and where we were at and where we stand today. And it's only because of your mercy and because of your grace and your great love for each and every one of us. We thank you for this body here today. We thank you for Pastor John, who's our senior pastor. And Father, we pray that you would anoint him now as he brings forth the word. Lord, may our hearts and our minds and our wills be ready to accept it and act upon it. We give you thanks, we give you praise, we give you glory. In Jesus' name, and we all said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, a couple weeks ago, the last time I spoke, I shared a message about the new life that we have in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Have you ever thought to yourself something like, gee, I wish I could go back and sort of start my life all over again, knowing everything I know now? Wouldn't that be nice to have the understanding, the wisdom, the knowledge, the information, whatever it is, and be able to go back and start fresh, maybe pick an age, any, you know, like 15, 20, maybe you want to be out of high school already, or maybe you want to be back in high school. Well, every one of us has actually been given this chance to start over. When we got saved, we became a new creation. We were given new life, and we were given the opportunity to live our life then. We've been given that opportunity to live our life as it was meant to be lived. A life of purpose, a life of abundance, a life of joy and success, peace, power, victory, and so much more than we could ever imagine. And of course, just because we got saved, I'm sure we all know that this doesn't happen immediately. It doesn't happen all at once. It's a process. It's a building process. We're building something. Brick upon brick, we're building. But we can help this building project. We can help it along if we know what to do, if we know where to begin. And if we know anything about any kind of building, we know that if we're going to have a building, we need a foundation. The stronger our foundation, the stronger the building. And if we want this building to last, if we want it to stand against the elements, if we want it to not come crashing down, then it has to have a solid foundation. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus explained this and he said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock." Our solid foundation is none other than Jesus Christ, the living Word, the Word of God. Jesus said if we listen to His Word, and not only listen, but if we put it into practice, we will be like that wise man who was able to stand firm, even though everything in the world, it seemed like whatever would come against us, whether it's co-workers, whether it's financial problems, whether it's marriage difficulties, children's problems, you know, whatever it might be, sickness, whatever kind of catastrophe, whatever kind of problems come against us, if we are founded on that rock, if we have that foundation, and we're listening and putting into practice the Word of God, we're going to be able to stand. And why is that? It's because God's Word is powerful. God's Word is true and it's powerful. Let's go back to the beginning and see how Jesus and His words, He talks about if you listen to these words of mine, let's see how His words, Jesus and His words are intimately connected. In the beginning, in John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Who are we talking about here? Who are we talking about? Jesus, right? Jesus. John 1:3 says, "Through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made." So, we're still talking about Jesus, but we're talking about Jesus as the Word. Now let's turn to Genesis 1:1, and it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." And we know the story. God said, "Let there be light and water and land and animals and plants and vegetation," and of course, finally man. And God spoke those things into existence by the power of His Word. The same Word that was there with Him in the beginning, and the Word was with God. And the same Word that was with Him from the beginning, because the Word was God. The Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Word was Jesus, through whom all things were made. Psalm 18:30, "As for God, His way is perfect. The Word of the Lord is flawless." Just like Jesus. Jesus is perfect. He's without sin. He was flawless. We see how the parallels, talking about the Word, talking about Jesus. Isaiah 40, verse 8, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of God stands forever." The Word of God is eternal. Jesus is eternal. Psalm 33, verse 4, "For the Word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does." The Word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does. Jesus said, "I am the truth, faithful and true." That's His name, faithful and true. Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Over and over and over, all throughout Scripture, it just keeps on going. Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." You know that Jesus knows what we're thinking, right? In Mark 2:8, I just pulled out one scripture out of many. "Immediately Jesus knew in His spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And He said to them, 'Why are you thinking these things?'" See, even as Jesus on the earth, He knew. He could read their hearts. He could judge their thoughts and their attitudes, just as the Word does. And on it goes. Jesus and the Word, one and the same, because He is the Word. If we say that we love Jesus, we have to love His Word. Because the Word is who He is. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Next we see in John 1:14 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So it's explaining it even further now. The Word became flesh, Jesus, and dwelt among us. Imagine if I was reading a story to you. Maybe say I was reading the story of David and Goliath. And as I'm telling you the story, all of a sudden you see the characters. They become alive right in front of our eyes. And I'm talking about David, and there's David. And then we mention Goliath, and in walks this 9-10-foot guy, Goliath. And talk about David doing his sling, and bam, he hits Goliath. Goliath falls. I mean, the whole thing happens right in front of us. Well, the Word of God became a living, breathing human being. Just like you and me. And he walked on this earth for a time. And his name was Jesus. He came to show us the way of life, this new life. He came to show us how to be a new creation, how to live a new life. Jesus is even called the Word of Life, 1 John 1:1. In Jesus, we're able to see the power of God's Word in living color, in reality, right before our eyes. We get to see the Word alive, coming out. Now, we weren't there in that day 2,000 years ago. I wish I was. I wish we could have seen Jesus, like, literally, physically alive. He is alive. He's with us, but it would have been cool to see him when he was living on the earth. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it have been nice to be able to be with him, to walk with him? It's like we sang that song, Walk With Me. We saw the Word of God turn a few loaves of bread and a few fish into enough to feed thousands of people. We saw the Word of God as the sick were healed, the lame began to walk, the blind were able to see. We saw the Word as it calmed the wind and the waves and the seas. We saw the Word as the dead were raised to life. The Word was spoken. Jesus spoke it. We've seen hopeless lives turned into something that is good. Through the Word of God, even our own, even mine. My life was worthless. I'm not afraid to say that. I was going nowhere. And I can say with confidence, before you knew the Lord, your life was going nowhere. But God took our worthless lives and brought us into His family and gave us worth, gave us value, because the Word of God is powerful. It could change lives. It can change hearts. The greatest miracle on this earth is changing hearts. That's actually way more powerful than opening up seas or bringing someone back from the dead. Changing a heart is very, very hard. And you want to know how hard it is? Think about all the people that won't change. Think about that. All the people that have not given their heart to God. God could have opened up any sea He wanted. But look at all the hearts that have rejected Him. That's how hard it is to get a heart to change. We've seen the power of God's Word. The same power that created the sun, the moon, the oceans, the trees, the mountains, all those beautiful things, the stars that formed the whole universe, and in fact, that same Word is even holding everything together right now. I've said this before, I know, many times, and I'm always amazed. You know, when we see this piece of wood here, this podium, it seems like it's really solid. But the reality is it's not. All these atoms, if you remember your science, the little atoms floating around, you know, and the thing in the middle, you know, and the little Sputniks, things going around, and they keep going smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, and they're all moving around, and that's what this podium is made of. That so is the floor, the roof, everything. It's all somehow holding together. Hebrews 1:3 says, "The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being." Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. Everything is holding together because when Jesus said the Word, when God spoke the Word was with God, the Word was God, we're talking about Jesus. So when the Word was spoken and the earth was created, when we were created, it was brought together out of nothing And it's still being held together by the power of that word. Because that word never will fail. It's eternal. And so these things, they still hold together. It's such a powerful word that here we are, centuries and, you know, thousands of years later, and everything is still holding together. The universe is still holding together. It's not falling apart. The earth is not falling apart. We're not falling apart. Sometimes we might think our lives are falling apart, but they're not really. Jesus was given all authority on heaven, in heaven, and on earth. And now he's given us that authority to walk in his name, to live, to move, to function, to do things in his name, by his word. John 14:14 says, "You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." What does that mean? Does that mean we can just ask him for cars and houses and money and, you know, give me a lottery ticket that's going to win me $1 billion and, you know, do this? And is that what that's talking about, that we can just get whatever we want whenever we want? No, not at all. That's sometimes what people think. That's what some people teach, but that's not the reality of what that means. All power comes from God, and he's given us his word to use. But we have to use it properly. I'm going to explain that. We have to remember that we have a standing order. It's, you know, the priority order, the number one order that goes above all things, and that is to seek first, what? The kingdom, right? So we're doing everything for God. We're doing it for God's glory. That is the purpose of our life, is to seek first the kingdom. We're his ambassadors. We're speaking for him. When Jesus was on the earth, he said, "I only say what the Father tells me to say. I only do what the Father tells me to do." He didn't call down a mansion from heaven. He didn't call down a hot rod so he could get around the desert. It's sort of like we have power of attorney. Now, an attorney has a fiduciary responsibility, it's called. Especially when you talk about anyone, but I mean, when you talk about, for instance, somebody in the investment world, you hear it there a lot, where, and in fact, some new laws have even been recently passed, where those people, those financial advisors, those CPAs, those attorneys, whoever they might be, they have a responsibility to not try to give you information that will make money for them at your expense. They're supposed to help you invest wisely. They can make a profit, that's fine. And they can charge a percentage, they can charge a fee, whatever they want to do. Just lay it all out in front. But when I'm telling you how to spend your money to invest, I better not be doing it in a way that's only going to benefit me and not you. Otherwise, I'm in trouble. I have to, if I'm holding things in a trust, for instance, I have to make sure that that money is wisely taken care of, so that in the end I could give it to the family and disperse it and they get their fair share and not come back and say, "Well, I'm sorry, I spent it all on myself." They'd be in a lot of trouble. We're like that. We've been given power, we've been given authority to use on this earth, to use the name of Jesus, to use the Word of God. But we have, first and foremost, that overriding principle that we are to seek first the kingdom of God. That's always got to be in the back of our mind. So we're like this ambassador. We only speak what we've been told to speak. We're like that, you know, that having that power of attorney where we, you know, we do it, but we have to be cautious in how we do it. Do it as it's legally ordained, as it was meant to be. So we have to work on behalf of God's interests when we use that authority. To work to only or enrich ourselves would be a conflict of interest. So when you hear people saying, oh, you can ask God for anything, you just name and claim it, you can get all the money you want, all the power you want, that's a conflict of interest. Is that really serving the kingdom of God? Or serving themselves? It's wrong. James 4, verse 3 and 4 says, when you ask or when you pray, you do not receive. What? The Bible says we prayed and we don't receive? Just after Jesus says you can ask for anything in my name and I'll give it to you? Now here, see, now it's explaining it a little further. We have to take Scripture, the whole Scripture. When you ask or pray and you do not receive, it's because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. See, that's the problem. It's not, God hasn't given us His Word, He hasn't given us His truth, He hasn't given us His power to use to give pleasure to this flesh. God doesn't want to build up this flesh. He wants to build up the Spirit, and the Spirit within us will always, always work to seek first the kingdom of God. Now Jesus knew that even though that He'd given us this authority to use His name, to speak His word, He knew that being that who we are as humans, fallible, not knowing everything, not having all information, not understanding, He knew that we would need a hand, need a guide, someone to help us. In John 14, 25 and 26, He said, I'm going to send someone to help you. So it says, all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit is going to remind us what Jesus said, going to remind us of the Word. The Holy Spirit will bring the Word to us, the Word of God. That means if He's going to remind us of the Word, if I want to be reminded of something first, I need to at least have heard it, right? Maybe read it, heard it, studied it. Somehow I need to have allowed it to get in, so that the Holy Spirit can bring it back out. Not that He couldn't just give it to us. Maybe we haven't read it. The Holy Spirit can do whatever He wants. But in general, that's what God is saying, that we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved. Remember the Bereans? They were commended because they were so diligent, always checking everything out in the Word. So the Holy Spirit will do that. He'll work in our lives. He'll guide us. He'll remind us. He'll help bring out those things. And not only that, but He'll actually help us in our studies. When we go to read the Word, there's nothing wrong with asking the Holy Spirit to enlighten us, open up our eyes, open up our understanding. It's actually a good idea to help us understand that Word even better. There's no one better to help understand God's truth. You know why? Because it was the Holy Spirit who, remember, sort of carried along all these people who wrote down the Word. Now, if He helped them to write it, don't you think He can help us to understand what was written? Doesn't that make sense? Sure it does. John 16, verse 13 and 14, it says, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. Now listen to this. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. See, the Holy Spirit will speak what He hears. So in other words, He's going to speak the Word. Just like when Jesus said, I only did what the Father told me. I only spoke what the Father told me. Now He's saying the Holy Spirit's just going to speak what He hears. He's going to remind us of the words of Christ. Then listen to the last part of that. Verse 14. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. It is from, this is Jesus speaking. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, and he says, it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. That's powerful. So God wants us to know. He wants us to know what he's given us. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to be victorious. He wants us to have a life of abundance, a life of joy, a successful life. God wants every one of us to be successful. We should be at the top of our field. We should be, you know, the kind of people that everyone looks up to and says, man, I want to be like them. I wish I was, you know, like them. And they come to us and, how come you can do this? How come you're there? Why? How come you got to do that? Well, the Lord's blessed me because I'm blessed and highly favored, right? We have to believe that because it's true. And the Word of God is what we need for that to happen. You see, the Word of God is our instruction book. Remember, Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. Remember that? Did you ever hear that? There used to be a group called For Him. And it gives us, it's the Word of life. It's the instructions on how to live. The whole Bible is filled with stories of, you know, that and analogies and proverbs and all kinds of facts and truths and all these things to show us how to live. And that word is truth. It's not just somebody's opinion. It's not even the opinion of a Supreme Court. It's not the opinion of Dear Abby. It's not my opinion. It's not yours. It's God's truth. Truth that will stand the test of time, that when we build on it, we have a firm foundation that will never be blown away. Okay, so far we've seen that Jesus and the Word are one and the same, right? We saw that. We've seen that there's tremendous power in this Word. So much power that it holds all the world together, all the earth together. We've seen that we've been given authority now to use that word. And we've been given a counselor to remind us of this word, to teach us about this word, to train us, to help us understand the word. So here we are, and we have this book now. We call the Bible. Maybe now we have this book. Some of us, you know, and here I got mine that says, you know, Holy Bible right on it. But I still like the real books. So we have this book in our hands called the Word of God. By now we all know that that book, this book, the Bible, is more than just a book. I thought immediately when I said that those exact words last night, I was thinking, I actually went online and looked up the Book of Eli. If you remember seeing that movie, this guy, he goes, Eli, Denzel Washington, he goes into this town, and this guy basically demands, he wants his book from him. He goes, I need that book. And he goes, don't you want me to have that book? Don't you want this book to go to some place where people can read it and learn how to live righteously and be able to love this book and have it spread around? And he says, that's exactly what I want. And I've been looking all over for that, but this ain't the place. Because this guy was a con artist. This guy was an outlaw. So just a little bit later in the movie, they're sitting up in the room. And the guy's been shot, and This other guy's working on his leg, and he says, "We got to get the book." And this other guy's sitting next to him, and he goes, "All this for a book." He turns around, he slugs him in the arm, and he says, "It's not just a book, it's a weapon." And it is. It's more than just a book. Now, that guy wanted it for the wrong reasons. He wanted it to control people. We don't want it to control people except our own self. We want it to control ourselves, but we want it to honor God and to live for Him. He knew, though, if you ever watch that story, it's a pretty cool movie, The Book of Eli. A little bit of swearing in it and stuff, but basically it's a pretty good, all throughout it's a pretty good book. It's got a surprise ending if you've never seen it or heard of it. If you have, don't tell anybody else. But this book, it's not just a collection of words or letters or stories or things like that. It's something special. There's an old saying that familiarity breeds contempt. And I think sometimes, I mean, we would never have contempt for the Bible, but sometimes we're so familiar with it. I mean, I myself probably have 15 Bibles at home, maybe more. And many of you, I'm sure, do too. And there's a lot of people that have nice big Bibles sitting on their dining room and living room table, or they have them all around the house, and some of those people have never picked them up, never looked at them, ever. But what if there was only one Bible in the whole world, like in that movie? That's why that movie's cool. Only one, what if there was just one Bible in the whole world to reveal God's Word, to reveal His truth? How sacred would that book be then? Look at our Declaration of Independence, what we do to protect that. It's in a thick plastic, bulletproof, fireproof, airproof case. It goes down underground every night. It's protected like Fort Knox. Remember the Ark of the Covenant. It held what you could sort of call the original Bible. It was the Ten Commandments were in there, the tablets, the Word of God. And those tablets were written on tablets of stone by the finger of God. They were God's word. And so they had them in this golden case. And it was carried only by the priests. And the priests took it into battle with them. It was powerful, really powerful. When they took it into battle, they won. When they treated that ark and the word that was in there properly, everything went well for them. They had a temple. They even had a temple built for it to put the ark in. And they prayed before that. You know, they did all these things because it was very special. It was the Word of God. Wherever the ark went, God's presence was there. And it carried God's Word. It was amazing. And it's very similar today, except today we're the ark. The Word of God is now inside of us. We're the temple. And instead of His Word being inscribed on stone, now His Word is written on our heart. John 14, 23, Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him." So, just like the people wanting to be by that ark, Jesus saying, if you love me, and remember, if you love me, you'll obey my teaching. In other words, you'll obey my word, and we'll come and be with you. Just like God's presence was with the ark, now God's presence will be with us. When the Word of God is living in us, His presence is really there. In 2 Corinthians 3:3 says, "You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of living God, not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of human hearts." In the old days, it was hard to get. I mean, you had to go to the ark. It was hard to get there. You had to be in a special place. Now, God is with each one of us, in our heart, through His Spirit. So now we've come full circle. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh Then Jesus returned to the Father, and then we had the Word again. And then the Holy Spirit came to write the Word. Not only, you know, it was already being written in the Bible. I mean, the words Paul was writing and Peter and all them. Moses had written things. But now the Word is now written on our hearts again. And so the Word is now becoming flesh again in us. So we're doing this full circle type kind of thing. And whatever Jesus could do while he lived here, if you remember, he said, you can even do greater things. How can we do greater things than Jesus? Well, there's more of us. We're all over the place. We're everywhere. The church is worldwide. The Word of God can accomplish amazing things through us. Powerful things. Jesus was the living Word. The Bible was the written Word. But the written Word is living and active. When we speak the Word of God with our mouth, as we are led by the Holy Spirit, we bring it to life again. The Word becomes alive again. Just as Jesus did when he became the living Word. So, see, God wants his Word to still bear fruit. He still wants his Word to be spread out all over the place. He wants his Word to go forth. And we're the vessels now to use this powerful Word. We've been given this Word, the Bible. And now he's writing it in our hearts, and the Holy Spirit is implanting it in us, and he's giving us, he's teaching us, he's reminding us, and he's training us and showing us how to live the Word, how to speak the Word, how to proclaim the Word. If we don't let the Word of God live and work in our lives, in essence, what we're saying is that we're not allowing Jesus to live and work in our lives. So here's what we need to see. That the Word of God must become a part of our life. It's so important. It has to become a major, major part of our life if we want to reap the major benefits. I mean, do you want to be blessed by the Word? I do. I'm sure you do. If you want to enjoy the blessings. I mean, there's a whole section that talks about the blessings and curses. I want all the blessings. I want to know the difference. I want to know what not to do and what to do. How do I find that out? In the Word. How do I find out how to live? In the Word. How do I find out what not to do? In the Word. When the Word becomes a real part of our life, that's when we begin to see the real power in our life. Even in the midst of our struggles. And I know we're all going through struggles. Everybody in here has got at least one struggle you're dealing with right now. And most of you, probably all of us, have many more than one. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." Our life is a battle. Life is a struggle. We're here. We're in the thick of it. We're in the thick of the battle, the thick of the struggle. We're up against more than we can even see, more than we can realize, but we're not defenseless. We're not. We're not just at the mercy of whatever happens. It's not just fate. Oh, that's going to happen to us. Oh, well, that's the way it goes. Oh, we're going to have to suffer that. Oh, well, that's just what happens. No. We have the most powerful weapon in the world on our side, the Word of God, also called the sword of the Spirit. So next week, we're going to continue on and start looking a little bit more at this Word and see how we can use it, how we can use to have this power to overcome the things of the world, the importance of the Word in our life. You know, we are destined to be more than conquerors, every one of us. That's the destiny that God has designed for us. When He created us, He did not create you to be a failure. He created you to be victorious, to be more than a conqueror. But to be able to walk in that power, we have to know about it. We have to know about what's in the Word. And that's what we're going to be going on. So next week we'll continue that. So if I could have the prayer team come forward, we're going to close in prayer. And as I said earlier, you're more than welcome to go up in the fellowship hall and hang out and talk and laugh. And yeah, you're more than welcome to stay in the sanctuary and talk. But please, if you're in the sanctuary, just keep it down a little bit, okay, while they're praying. All right, so let's pray. Ask God's blessing. And let's ask Him to reveal His Word to us in a way that we have never, ever experienced it before. While I'm praying, ask God, God, show me Your Word. Make it real to me. Lord, we come to You right now. Father, we know Your Word is faithful and true, that Your Word is flawless, that Your Word will never fail, that it will never cease, that it will never fade away, that Your Word sustains all things, including us. Lord, I pray that You would reveal Your Word to us, the depths of Your Word, the beauty of Your Word, the glory of Your Word, the power of Your Word. Lord, show us. Guide us through Your Holy Spirit. Counsel us, teach us, train us in Your Word. Help us to understand Your Word like we've never known it before. Empower us through Your Word. Help us to understand all that we have, all the benefits that we can enjoy as Your children because of Your Word. Lord, I pray Your blessing upon every single person here and everyone that hears this message. Lord, we thank You. We thank You so much that You did not leave us here with no knowledge of what to do or what's going on. But Lord, You left us Your Word. You've given us this wonderful Word. We thank You for it. Lord, just continue to give us depths of understanding, knowledge. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Your Word and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord God. Bless these that are right now and use these, anoint these that are praying up here right now, Lord God. Anoint them and use them to touch Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Thanks for coming out today. God bless.